Privilege to be sharing God's word this morning, and it's great to see so many here, not least all the baptism party. You're very, very welcome, whether you're regulars or just visiting today, and it's lovely to see a few faces I haven't seen in a very, very long time. I want to begin by just asking you a question. What do you love and what do you hate? There should be some visuals coming up for us here. Now, I'm going to share something with you that I know some of you will love and some of you will hate. It's something that somebody sent me just 2 days ago, about a husband and wife, and they'd had a bit of a row before they headed off to work that morning. And this was the particular day. The wife always had a beautiful dinner for the husband when he got home, this particular day of the week. When he got home that night, there was a note on the kitchen table. The house was empty, and this is what the note said. Your dinner is on page 32 in the recipe book, and all the ingredients you'll find in Tesco supermarket. You need to pray for that couple, don't you? I told you you'd either love that story or you'd hate it. But seriously, what are some of the things that we love? Next slide. I'm not going to do a quiz, so don't be embarrassed. I'm not coming round with the mic. But I suspect there are some of us here, and we just love learning new things. Some of us hate anything new. We just love to go over old things. Some of us love sleep-ins on a Sunday morning, and we had to get to church this morning. That wasn't just so good. Some of us love a wee nap every day in the middle of the afternoon. Some of us love comfortable shoes. Some of us look as if we've just got off the catwalks of Milan. We just love to be well-dressed. Some of us couldn't care less like that. Isn't that right? That isn't something that we love. Some of us just love walking on a beach at sunset and just hearing the lapping of the waves. Isn't that right? There are all sorts of different things people love. And there are also things that people hate. What do I hate? What are some of the things? I know somebody's about to shout out before you do. I'll say it, a very, very long sermon. I'm not going to mention that, all right? But can I tell you something that I hate? I absolutely hate this, and I suspect I'm not the only one here. Try and guess what's being talked about in this poem that I read for the first time just this week. I destroy homes. I tear families apart. I take your children, and that's just the start. I'm more costly than diamonds, more costly than gold. The sorrow I bring is a sight to behold. And if you need me, remember I'm easily found. I live all around you in schools and in town. I live with the rich, I live with the poor, I live down the street and maybe next door. My power is awesome, try me, you'll see, but if you do, you may never break free. Just try me once, and I might let you go, but try me twice, and I'll own your soul. When I possess you, you'll steal and you'll lie. You'll do what you have to just to get high. The crimes you'll commit for my narcotic charms will be worth the pleasure you'll feel in your arms. You'll lie to your mother, you'll steal from your dad. When you see their tears, you should feel sad, but you'll forget your morals and how you were raised. I'll be your conscience and teach you my ways. I take kids from parents and parents from kids. I turn people from God and separate from friends. I'll take everything from you, your looks and your pride. I'll be with you always, right by your side. And on it goes. There isn't time. Isn't that powerful? And the letter is signed at the end, drugs. And you know people, and I know people, and they live today with the heartbreak, the profoundly painful heartbreak of friends or family becoming addicts to whatever it is, and it has completely destroyed their lives, and in some cases, taken their lives. I hate drugs. I hate addictions that harm and destroy. That's something that I hate with a passion. In the passage of Isaiah 61, verses, today we're looking at verses 8 to 11. If you have your Bible, look at it. If you have an order of service, you'll see it there. But one of the things that is so clear in this passage is this. God declares what he loves, and he declares what he hates. Just look at the next slide. Look at what God says. I, the Lord, verse 8, love justice. Our God loves fairness. He loves things that are done right. He loves people getting what they should get and not being harmed and destroyed. He absolutely hates injustice because he loves justice and fairness, judgment that is balanced and correct and is right. And what does he hate? Well, he tells us too. Look at the next slide. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. In a moment, we'll come back to that. But look at what he hates. Robbery and wrongdoing. Drugs rob people of life. Lies rob people of the truth. Empty promises rob people of being able to trust somebody. They don't know where they are. Stealing other people's possessions. The harm that that does. I was just reading in the last couple of days, Christine Lampard, you know, the wife of Frank Lampard, Christine Blakely, their house was broken into and millions of pounds worth of possessions stolen. And she says, I don't feel safe in my house anymore because of a robbery. God hates robbery and wrongdoing. God hates things that harm and hurt any of us. He hates them with a passion. He hates hypocrisy. He hates it when we say one thing and do another. When I was growing up as a teenager in the Church of Ireland, often I heard on many Sundays, God is spirit, and we who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Didn't Jesus say, these people honor me with their lips? But what was the problem? Their hearts were far from me. There was no integrity, no honesty. And we can do that in church, can't we? We can sing the wonderful words we've just been singing, and they just, you know. I love the story of the rector shaking hands with John at the end of the service. Well, John, what did you think of that sermon? Rector, it went in one ear and out the other. You know what the rector said to him? I'm not surprised, John. There's nothing in between to stop it. Well, it was a bit of banter they were having, wasn't it? You know, but God hates it when we say one thing and do another. He really does. He hates it when we know the truth and we don't live the truth or obey it. Let's capture something God hates. But just look, let's think a moment of this. These words of God. He said, I'm going to make an everlasting covenant with you. This is so important. And how relevant this is to Billy and Jane's beautiful daughter, Martha, being, I nearly said married today? Baptized today. She's just 1 year old, Billy, isn't he? I know she's very talented and gifted and everything like that. But it's little Martha's baptism today, and baptism is a covenant. And God says here in Isaiah, I'm going to make an everlasting covenant with these people. He has a special group of people. And what is a covenant? Look at the bottom of the overhead. A covenant relationship is a voluntary, mutual commitment that binds each party to the other. A voluntary, mutual relationship that binds each party to the other. And when God says to people, I'm entering an everlasting covenant with you, he means that. And he's going to keep his part of it. You and I may fail sometimes. But when God says he'll do it, he will do it. And what will be happening, Martha, in a few moments, is a sign of God's new covenant with his people, baptism. It's a sign that we belong. People get baptized because they're wanting to say, I belong to Jesus. And that's why questions are being asked. In the case of a little child, the questions will be asked of the parents. Do you believe? You know, they're speaking out their faith. They're proclaiming that they know Jesus is Lord. And it's in that context of the family of belief. And Martha is going to receive the sign of belonging to the family of God. Aren't those signs very important to all of us? Do you know, for the last week, I've been wearing this. And do you know why? Any idea why I've been wearing this for the last week? The Irish Rugby Football Union. Because who did we beat not so long ago in rugby? New Zealand. Often one of the known as the best team in the world, and Ireland beat New Zealand. Wonderful. And so I've been wearing this as a sign of identity. I don't support England. I don't support New Zealand. I support the Irish rugby team. Or if I was wearing this, which team would I be telling you I belong to? Oh, I know. Now we're back to love and hate. Isn't that right? But you see, it's a sign of who I belong to. Now, I saw your face. I saw your face. And just to be, get it right, and to keep the balance right. Oh dear, I'm going to have to wash my hands out of this. This belongs to the rector. Who does he support and belong to? Exactly. Oh dear, it hurts. This is having you talk. But it's a badge of identity, isn't it? And doctors, and what's going to be happening, Martha, in a few moments, is a sign of identity of who Billy and Martha want her to belong to. Or Billy and Jane, who want Martha to belong to. Baptism is a sign of God's faithfulness and what God is doing. It's a sign of belief. It's a very, very important act, covenant. Jesus has told us to be baptized. It's a sign not just of belonging, but of commitment. This is who I want to be committed to. This is who I want to follow for the rest of my life. It's a sign of forgiveness. Baptism, water is used, isn't that right? Have you ever seen anybody baptize themselves? No, that doesn't happen. Someone else baptizes us because, you see, it's God who saves us. It's God who rescues us. We can't become Christians by ourselves. We need the help of God. This is what salvation is all about. It's what he has done for us, and we want to accept it, receive it. As Martha is baptized, someone else will be baptizing her with water and saying the words, and she and her mum and dad will receive what is being said. It is very, very exciting. So let's move quickly on. It's about a covenant relationship. Next slide, please. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. In these verses 8 to 11 in Isaiah 61, there's really two voices. In verses 8 and 9, there's the voice of God speaking to us. And then in verses 10 and 11, God's people are responding. And so we are saying as the people of God, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. That's why we praise and thanks God. And praise and thanksgiving are such an important part of our worship. For he has done what? He has covered me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Next slide, please. I find this so exciting. I was never good at maths at school, but I tell you this, I can count God's blessings. No bother. I love these words. In a society that is counting money, pounds, calories and steps, be a rebel and count your blessings instead. That's why we want to praise and thank God. Like the voice here speaking in Isaiah 61, I will greatly delight myself in the Lord. I will praise and thank him. And then he gives us the reason. Next slide, please. Because of the clothes he's given us, special clothes, glorious garments, garments of salvation, a robe of righteousness. These are glorious garments. Next one, they are given garments. Next one, they are grace garments. These are not things we can pay for. Salvation is not something we can work for. Write out a check in order to get salvation. Doesn't happen that way. Salvation is a gift we receive. And the clothes we wear as Christians are garments of salvation. A robe, last one please, a robe of righteousness. Which again is because of Jesus. Because of what he has done at the cross, we can be forgiven, we can be free. Hallelujah. All because of him. Do you know, a couple of years ago, I was over in Armagh, and I was parked in the car park of what's it called, the Trian Centre, I think it is. And I had got my ticket out of the machine, And I went over to the machine. You'll be encouraged to know I try to pay for car parking, and when you're meant to in a car park, I went over to the machine to put the ticket in, find out how much I needed to pay. Do you know the message that came up on the screen? I couldn't believe it. Like, for a preacher, this was a gift. Do you know what it said on that screen? Still in grace time, nothing to pay. Yes. I'm 50% Ballymena blood. You've no idea what something free means to me. And salvation is a gift because of God's grace time. We have nothing to pay. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we have nothing to pay. He has paid it all. And the writer in Isaiah's time didn't even know about the cross in the way you and I do. Completely different. What a special God we have. Next slide, please. And is it any wonder we want to rejoice and be glad? And with this I finish. These words and a story, which is a true one. One of the things I'm intrigued about here is that these verses are telling us that something special is going to happen amongst God's people. And other people outside, across the world, are going to see righteousness and praise rising up, and they're going to see people living a different kind of life, and they're going to see, hey, listen, there's a group of people, and there's something different about them. God has blessed them. There's a righteousness about their lives. There's a justice in their lives. There's a compassion in their lives. There's an energy, a divine energy in their lives. What is it all about? It's about salvation. It's what about what Jesus does in us. Some years ago in the Mission Africa magazine, there was this amazing story written by a wonderful Christian lady called Jean Garland. Jean and Sid were missionaries in Nigeria for many, many years. And she tells the story of this, and it's a true one. A girl who grew up in a village in Nigeria went off to the big city, got a good job, paid well, but she lived the kind of life no mum and dad would want their daughter living. And she became ill because of the kind of life she was living. She thought it was shingles or typhoid. It turned out it was AIDS. And this good-looking girl changed from being an attractive woman to being emaciated, defaced. She had to go back to the village. When her parents discovered it was AIDS she had, they put her in a hut on her own and bolted the door. And that's where she was day and night, suffering on her own. Most days, but not every day, they'd unbolt the door of the hut and they'd leave a bit of food and water for her. It was horrendous. And here she was dying. In that village, there was a pastor called Pastor Gabriel. And when Pastor Gabriel and his wife found out about this girl, they went and they got her and they took her into their home and they washed her wounds. They fed her. They cared for her. And a few weeks before she died, Lydia, for that was her name, Lydia gave her life to the Lord. She came to know Jesus. She put on the garments of salvation and the robe of righteousness, and she was forgiven. Do you know what the villagers said? This is what this verse is all about. They couldn't get over what they'd seen in Pastor Gabriel and his wife and what they had done. They couldn't get over it. And they started talking. They'd seen God's love in action. And one of the villagers said this, and you'll see the words, Jesus is living in our village. Jesus is living in our village. Friends, Jesus is living here in Dullingstown. He's living in Marilyn. You've seen what Jesus Christ can do in people's lives. And he wants to do the same in all of us. So we're going to finish with one more slide and a prayer. And if you would like, I invite you to join in me in this prayer to a special God who's given us special clothes and wants us to be part of his community of special people. And he's made this special agreement called a covenant with us. If you want to be one of his people this morning, then I invite you to join with me in the words of this prayer We'll just pray it quietly in our own heart, and then we'll move forward with the Lord in a new way. Just think of the words. I'm going to pray them out loud, but you pray them inside in your heart. If you want to give your life to Christ and discover all that he has for you, for me. Thank you, special God, for your amazing grace. Thank you for loving me so much. Thank you that your Son Jesus died for me on the cross. I am sorry for my sin. Thank you for your incredible forgiveness. Next slide, please. Thank you for the special clothes you give. You are my Lord and my God. In the power of your Holy Spirit, help me to love, obey, and serve you for the rest of my life. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen.